Welcome to Podland, the last word in podcasting news. It's Thursday, the 18th of August, 2022. I'm James Cridland, the editor of Pod News.
And I'm Sam Sethi, the managing director of River Radio.
He is. Podland is sponsored by Buzzsprout, podcast hosting made easy. Last week, 3,176 people started a podcast with Buzzsprout. Now there's Buzzsprout ads to grow your podcast wherever it's hosted.
And we're sponsored by Squadcast, the remote recording tool that creators love. Squadcast has launched version 5 with new features and a new look. Last week, 4,000 hours of high-quality audio were remotely recorded using Squadcast.
That's right. Now, Podland is where Sam and I review the week's top podcasting stories covered on Pod News. Thank you to Evo Terra for co-hosting last week. And next week, a special show from Dallas, Podcast Movement.
Podland supports both transcripts and chapters. This allows you to jump to the part of this podcast that interests you the most. If your podcast app doesn't support transcripts or chapters, then grab a new one from podnews.net/new-podcast-apps.
Indeed. And it's very good to see you back from your holiday. You were somewhere in Italy, were you?
Yeah, in Puglia. So I like to say I've been bistowed, which is brown, seasoned and thickened all in one.
Right. Well, and on that bombshell, what's the big story we're talking about this week, Sam?
Well, it's a follow-up to the story that's been going on for a couple of weeks now, James, that you and Evo discussed Ashley Carman's piece in Bloomberg about people paying $50,000 to appear on popular shows and not declaring it. Of course, after Bloomberg contacted said shows, they started to declare their payments. But you then wrote a story about a UK CEO, Stephen Bartlett, the Diary of a CEO. He's very famous over here. He's fairly well known globally, I think. He's fallen foul of the UK Advertising Standards Authority. James, what's he done wrong?
He didn't make it very clear that an ad was an ad in his show. So the Advertising Standards Authority, which is kind of the equivalent-ish of the FTC in the US, ended up saying it was in a similar style and tone to the editorial material and therefore not differing significantly between the two. Host your podcast at Buzzsprout. So my suspicion here is that the ASA is getting a little bit more keen on making it really clear when something is an ad and when something isn't an ad.
Yeah, I mean, they stepped in a couple of years back. I can't quite remember exactly how long ago, when influencers on Instagram were not declaring that what they were posting was actually an ad and not something that was just from their collection of various photos. And in this case, Stephen Bartlett is a big investor into Huel. He put in $24 million last year into them. So you would think that he'd make it very clear that he was actually giving an ad and not just recommending something on the process of talking about it within his podcast.
You know, it just needs to be really clear when something is an ad and when something isn't an ad. And, you know, it's interesting that the Advertising Standards Authority really only starts looking into this if there's a complaint. And there was a complaint from someone. I wonder who that someone was and whether that someone was, you know, a competitor or something else. It's something which the FTC has always been pretty hot on in the US, of just making sure that an ad is obviously, you know, an ad. If you're going to be doing a remote recording, use Squadcast. It's very good. Just make it really clear that it is an advert. You'll have been in your Italian villa watching a little bit of the Italian TV. And when they go to the ad break, then you see something saying advertisements just before the ads, or Werbung in Germany, to make it really clear and obvious. And obviously there are other things there as well in terms of what's an ad and what isn't an ad. And I think that that's, at least it sounds as if that's what the Advertising Standards Authority is wanting to happen here too.
Well, it just feels to me like it's the same as the payola stuff. Just be transparent, declare that this is your position. I'm sure that those podcasts that were having people pay to be guests didn't want anyone to know that. But that's just, you know, underhand. And I think, you know, maybe Stephen Bartlett, I doubt he needs the extra 50p in a Mars bar from Huel's advert. So he probably just didn't know that he had to do it, or didn't make it very clear. I'm sure he's changed his mind and he'll make it very clear in his next episode. Now, you have a friend in the UK called Paul Chantler, and you reached out to him as a UK media law expert. What did he have to say on it, James?
He's also director of Podcast Radio, and he has basically written a long article all about what you should do, and basically listeners must know when they're being sold to. It's the basic thing here. Now, my understanding about this particular podcast was that the mention of Huel's sponsorship was at the end of the show, rather than at the beginning. And this is why I'm kind of a little bit jokingly dropping in Buzzsprout and Squadcast there, because we're up front right at the start that we are sponsored by those two fine, excellent people. I don't think that anybody would be in any doubt that they were being sold to if I start mentioning it now. So similarly, I think that that's one of the things that this particular podcast wasn't doing. And now they've basically changed it to basically say, as you know, Huel sponsor this podcast, so let me talk about Huel and blah, 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 blah. And I think, you know, that's probably a fair and sensible thing to do.
So, yeah, I'll check out Paul Chantler and hopefully be able to get him onto the show in the future as well. Now, a little bit more legal trouble going on in the world of podcasting, James, it seems. Oprah Winfrey's company has filed a lawsuit against a fan podcast called Opera-demics from Radiotopia. What's that one about, James?
I think it's Oprah, isn't it? I'm not a big fan either.
You say potato, I say potato.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either. But anyway, it turns out that Oprah has, basically her company has taken, which is called Harpo, which is Oprah backwards, fan facts. Her company has taken Opera-demics to court for basically saying that it's my trademark and you are trying to capitalize from the Oprah effect. Now, yes, they are clearly using Oprah's name to promote this show, because the show is all about the Oprah Winfrey show and seminal moments from that particular show. I've been calling it a fan podcast. Other people have told me it's a very academic podcast that looks into the history of the show and its effects on mass media and media in general and blah, blah, blah. But even so, at the end of the day, if they weren't using the Oprah name, then they wouldn't get as many people downloading that particular show. So I can kind of see that. Maybe calling it Opera-demics was slightly too much. If they were going to call it something like Adventures in Daytime TV, the Oprah Winfrey effect, they could probably have got away with that. I think it's just the fact that they have called it such a short and tight name, which is very much, you know, using her trademark. What do you think?
Well, on this one, I tend to agree with Oprah. I think people like her have spent a lifetime building up their brand, trademarked it correctly, spent a fortune on getting that done. I mean, I know Kylie Jenner and Kylie Minogue are fighting over the name Kylie for their trademark.
Are
one of them's
really?
Going to have it. Yes, one wants to be known as the Kylie.
Yes.
So people are very precious about their brands. I mean, at River Radio, I know we've got a trademark and we had to go and win that, and it was a hard fought. I guess they could have reached out, maybe they should have reached out to Oprah Winfrey's company and said, look, this is what we're going to do. Because from what you've just described, if somebody was going to do something around my radio station that was promoting it and saying how great it was, I'd be cartwheeling. So I'm not sure whether they just didn't reach out and she feels that they're, you know, monetizing her brand.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that. It's interesting to see, for example, there are quite a few fan podcasts out there about Star Wars or fan podcasts out there about Doctor Who, and neither Disney nor the BBC have got very upset about them, as long as they follow the right kind of brand guidelines and everything else. Clearly, that is something that is within the, you know, if you have a registered trademark, clearly you can control it in any way that you want to. And I think it's just gives you just a little bit of pause for thought in terms of if you're going to be making a fan podcast or a podcast which is looking specifically at a certain thing, then just be careful what you call it and be careful of the sort of treatment that you're going to give that registered trademark, because it's, you know, it's an important thing to get right.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, there was actually a virtual online event called Three Signs You Need to Change the Name of Your Podcast. I assume if that's still available, that would maybe be something that we send to Opera-demics. Maybe they
yes.
should consider it.
Yes, indeed.
Now, moving on. Libsyn seemed to be very active in the acquisition model. Libsyn is expanding to Europe by acquiring German podcast company Julep Media. I assume that's how you say it, James. The company is Germany's largest independent platform for podcast advertising, and it gives Libsyn opportunities across Europe. They're adding to the company's other advertising acquisitions of AdvertiseCast in April, Podgo in November, and Podcast Ad Reps in February. What's the strategy from Libsyn here, James? Why are they acquiring all these little companies and merging them into one, I assume?
Yeah, I think the strategy is to be an independent platform for podcast advertising across the world. They've realised that there's particular growth in Germany and that they want to jump in there. I'm not entirely convinced that Julep is particularly large anywhere else other than Germany, but it's a good start into there. And it does give Libsyn some people on the ground in Germany as well. So I think that that makes a bunch of sense. Actually, today, Libsyn has announced it's expanding into Canada as well. They've announced the appointment of Bob Kane, which, you know, I reported Bob Kane was working for Libsyn in June, but they finally announced it. So that's good. And they signed a couple of podcasters in Canada as well. So again, I think very clearly they are jumping in. They're going, actually, advertising is here for the taking, and we want to be a market leader in that sort of area, and, you know, quite rightly too.
Now, talking of Libsyn, one of their employees is the wonderful Elsie Escobar. This week, James, she published with Edison Research the Latino Podcast Listener Report. The number of US Latino podcast listeners, it says, over the past month has slightly declined year on year. Feels like this same report that was announced at Podcast Movement in LA. Have you read the report, or did you watch what Elsie said?
Yeah, I've read the report. There's some interesting data in there in terms of, you know, why people first listened to podcasts and people's attitude towards advertising and so on and so forth. There's a bunch of things that you can take out of the data. I think one of the things that I sort of spotted is how static it all is, actually. And that's probably a good thing. What you don't want is an industry which is showing hockey stick growth and then going the other way. So great to see that everything is pretty static, pretty good. A little bit of a drop in terms of monthly consumption, the highest ever figure in terms of have you ever listened to a podcast. Tons of other, you know, interesting things in that data. It's probably quite difficult actually to pricey and worthwhile having a look at the full data, which thankfully is released and is available now.
Yeah, one of the things that stood out for me was the desire of the Latino audience to also see video. It was much more a visual as well as audio audience. And that was something that I thought was very different to what we would normally report. You know, we've been talking all waiting with bated breath for YouTube to do something.
Interesting to read it. And certainly it's one of the reasons why, for example, Sounds Profitable publishes their newsletter every single week in Spanish to capture that market, because it's a great market to have a look at.
Yeah, and I think Elsie's going to be doing an online seminar on the 15th of September with more details from that report as well. Now, let's have a look at what Spotify's been up to. Straight after last week's podcast with you and Evo, Spotify has shown in some screen grabs that it is going to add additional filter tabs to try and make it clearer for users to separate between podcasts and music. What's your thoughts there, James? Do you think that's the step forward that we need? Because I know still finding podcasts within the current Spotify app still is a challenge for me.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do there is that they're adding additional filters onto the front screen so that you can have a look at the current front screen, which is a mix of podcasts and music. You can also then say, actually, I just want to have a look at the music content, or I just want to have a look at the podcast content. Now, this has been celebrated by some in the podcast industry of going, oh, brilliant, you know, finally we've got a podcast screen. And that's one way of looking at it. My other way of looking at it is, do we really want a screen which allows users to remove podcasts altogether from their view of Spotify? Is that really a good thing for the industry as we move forward? Because that's essentially what they've also announced. So not so sure about that. At the end of the day, they are additional filters to the front page of the Spotify app. So therefore, it's not replacing anything. Interesting to see that sort of side. I believe that it's now live on Android, and I believe that it will be live on iOS in the next couple of weeks.
Mm. Will it be US only as well, or global?
A good question. I don't have Spotify on my phone, so otherwise I could probably tell you that. You would assume that it would be a global thing. Interestingly, Spotify have only just got around to launching podcasts in some of their countries anyway. They only launched podcasts in Ukraine last week. So up until last week, there's been no podcasts in Spotify in Ukraine at all, which, you know, again, questions around, really? Why did they spend so long doing that then? You never quite know with Spotify. They seem to do lots of different things in different places. And in fact, they've been testing something in New Zealand that they're now testing in Vietnam.
Yeah, they've started testing a voice recording option at the end of playlists. So asking people who've listened to a playlist to leave a voice recording of it. So again, is this a good thing? I can't imagine I would ever want to get to the end of someone else's playlist and go, you know what, James, that was the best thing I've ever heard as a mix.
I can't, yes.
Don't know why. Just can't imagine doing
it's just
it.
Like, just like, I really liked the Beatles song on number three. I mean, yeah, I don't understand why anybody would end up wanting to do that. Now, would they enable this feature for Joe Rogan? Would there be some kind of cesspool of audio comments in the Spotify app, which is lots of Joe Rogan fans going, that was really good, Joe. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much for sharing your intelligent brain with me. I'm not so sure that's the world's biggest plan. But, you know, I mean, Joe Rogan says that he wants comments and he really misses the comments from his YouTube clips. So who knows? Maybe they're building this just for him.
Maybe they should look at the podcast index and integrate maybe Boostergrams. That would be a better way of doing it.
Yes, well, integrate Boostergrams or integrate cross-app comments or something. Why would Spotify do that? Because that means playing with other people.
I noticed that you wrote about a company called Disktopia, which has launched its own mobile app, which is claiming that it's going to be having millions of podcast videos, and it also contains music. Is this the potential first competitor to Spotify?
I'm not sure it's the potential first competitor. I'm not quite sure what Disktopia is doing. They say that they're launching their own mobile app. They say it includes millions of podcasts. Who knows who's on there? I've not yet seen whether, you know, this podcast is on there. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Don't know. What they've announced today is that they're going to become the first podcast streaming platform to pay podcasters 5 cents per stream. 5 cents per stream, which is a $50 cost per thousand. I worked it out. That sounds to me as if that's a really good way of sending a company bankrupt relatively quickly. I mean, if the average advertising that you get from podcasting is about a $24 cost per thousand, then $50 cost per thousand to pay to the podcasters, I don't understand how that's going to work. Their CEO is coming to Podcast Movement next week, so maybe I can grab him for a quick interview to find out exactly how that's going to work and how his company isn't going to go bust very, very quickly. Maybe they've got a plan, but don't quite understand what their plan is.
Well, in some ways, what they're saying, though, to be fair to them a little bit, James, is they're saying, just as Fountain are, we will pay you micro payments for your time and attention. And if they are, I've just on their website, you know, charging $9.99 or $19.99 for Creative Plus, as it's called, then hopefully their CEO's worked out how much he has to pay out and the average consumption of the amount of music and podcasts that people will consume, as well as the payment out to artists to leave them a little bit of money left in the pot for marketing. I don't know. I mean, clearly it would be interesting to see what his calculations are, but you would hope. Now, the only reason I'm interested in it is because, A, if this is what Adam Curry's been asking for, which is someone to use a mechanism of payment for podcasters rather than a flat fee, but it's not. Yeah, I mean, they are charging a flat fee, same as Spotify. And they're not, from what I can read and see very quickly, they're not using anything like Satoshis or value for value. So I'm not quite sure how they're going to, as you said, how they're going to survive. But it would be interesting to hear from them.
And they do come from a music background. They have been helping musicians get into streaming platforms and stuff like that for quite some time. So, you know, they clearly have the knowledge there. But, I'm interested to find out what it is that they're actually planning. So who knows? Maybe I might be able to bump into them next week in sunny Texas.
Yes, I think you're going to be bumping into a lot of people, though, there, James.
I have a feeling I might be. That's my worry.
Yes. How's your diary looking?
Oh, it's
free,
full.
He says. It's free. Come and see me, he says.
It's absolutely full. Wednesday and Thursday is completely full. So, but looking forward to, on Thursday, looking forward to having a bit of beer in a nearby brewery. I am actually organising a piss up in a brewery, Sam. What could possibly go wrong? So that's on Thursday between 5:30 and 7:30. Please bump into me at Podcast Movement and ask where the beer is and how you can buy me a glass. That would be a splendid plan. But looking forward to that. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very busy couple of days for me.
And in case anyone didn't remember, James got married, so that's the reason to buy him lots and lots of beer.
Exactly.
I hope
right.
that before you do your live presentation, not after.
I am doing a live appearance on stage on the Friday, so yeah, that's things may be fun, but it is at midday, and Adam Curry is on stage with me. So again, what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, I'm tuning in for that.
Yes, that'll be fun.
Now, trends. Edison Research have shared some data suggesting that a quarter of all podcasts are listened to between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. Is this replacing the radio traditional breakfast shows?
Yeah, I mean, some of it, you know, clearly is. If a quarter of all podcasts are listened to during breakfast radio's peak time between 6 and 10, then clearly podcasts are eating into, you know, radio's ear time, so to speak. You know, that data is interesting because we've never actually seen that data before. And if I was working in the radio business, I should be a bit worried because it's normally the breakfast show that keeps most radio stations up and running. And the fact that there is clearly a lot of podcast listening supplanting radio in the morning is something that, you know, should be a bit of cause for concern.
Yeah, again, it's all about attention and time, isn't it? When will people fit it in? I think we said over COVID that podcasting went down, which I thought was odd. But then I realised people weren't going on their commutes, daily commutes, which is why or when people were actually getting their podcast consumption in. So
yeah,
the figures match with what we thought.
I listen to most of the podcasts that I listen to when I'm in the car doing supermarket runs and stuff like that. That's typically when I listen, apart from, you know, walking the dog. I found that data, you know, really interesting. As I say, it comes from Edison's podcast metrics. They have just released their top 50 most listened to podcasts in the United States. And you go, ooh, wow, this is going to be very exciting. The difficulty with the data is that it's a year's worth of data. So you don't see very much change, very much move, and you don't see, you know, shows that appear and then disappear, appearing in this information that much. You know, the number one is still the Joe Rogan Experience. The number two is still Crime Junkie with The Daily at number three. It's always interesting reading that because it is the only overall data that we have around podcast consumption. But, you know, but even so, it's a good piece of research. It interviews an awful lot of people, more than 8,000 people. So, you know, worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, on Pod News, you actually now list the Apple and the Spotify charts, the number one. And I can tell you as a reader, and I'm sure you know for yourself, James, that very rarely, if ever, I think once, the Spotify number one has changed from Joe Rogan on the site. But every week, the Apple number one that you present is changing.
And I think that's because the Spotify chart is worked differently to the Apple chart. And the Apple, you know, thing is really is a trending chart specifically there to surface new shows. There was a piece in the New York Post last week talking about the Chris Cuomo podcast and, you know, and saying that, you know, people had already stopped listening to it because it was, you know, going down the Apple podcast charts. Well, that's not what the Apple podcast charts measure. The Apple podcast charts measures trending podcasts, not downloads. So, you know, if journalists are confused about what the Apple podcast chart is, then, you know, I'm sure that general members of the public are as well. You know, I mean, I keep on banging on that, you know, it isn't a chart and really they should just call it trending. But I won't win that battle.
No. Now, Tom Webster, formerly of Edison Research, now with Sounds Profitable, also put out a post this week, which I thought was really interesting. Is podcast growth really a case of three steps forward and two steps back? So I had a little read of that. And Tom was talking about the problem of churn. He was saying that, yes, we keep seeing more people coming to podcasting, but we're also seeing a lot of people leaving it. And on the back of that, Evo put out a report yesterday as well, saying that the reason is, he believes, is that at the end of a podcast, let's say you've watched a really good or listened to a really good series, it doesn't prompt you to go and get the next series. So you sort of get people in the front door. Great, we've spent a lot of time getting them there, and then they listen to it, and then we don't, as an industry, get them into the next one. Where he was saying Netflix or Amazon Prime at the end of a series will be selling you another series or giving you something else to watch or listen to. But we don't seem to do that, which is why we get this churn problem.
Yeah, and, you know, Tom's really saying, you know, is podcasting's growth three steps forward and two steps back? You know, is podcasts' growth really being hampered by the fact that, you know, we will put out these wonderful eight-part shows and you listen to all eight parts and then you go, oh, well, there you go, that was that then. And you don't automatically get handed over to a different podcast that you might want to have a listen to. And I think it's a real issue and something that I know that Sounds Profitable are going to be taking more of a look at as they continue to, you know, do more bits of research. They're doing a really interesting piece of research called After These Messages, which is looking at ad reads, looking at live reads and scripted reads and announcer reads in podcast advertising. They are debuting that in the Sounds Profitable Business Summit next week at Podcast Movement. And that's free for anybody to go in and see. So I'm going to pop my head in for that and see what the data is. I think all of this research is really useful and really helpful for us to understand what's going on in this industry.
I mean, I know Wondery do a really good job of cross-promoting within their own podcasts, other podcasts coming up from themselves. And I remember talking to the guys at VoiceWorks, who part of their growth strategy was to go and find other podcasts that had similar audiences to the ones that they were launching and specifically advertise within them. So again, trying to stop this problem of people getting to the end of a series and going, oh, well, I enjoyed that thriller. What else should I go and listen to? Oh, look, yes, Here's one from, you know, VoiceWorks or whatever. So it is a good strategy. And I know Lauren Purcell is very big on people swapping their content into other people's podcasts as well. So
yeah,
maybe that's the problem. We don't do that as an industry enough.
Hey, we've got a new free podcast host coming, haven't we? Another one.
Yeah.
it's what everybody
welcome on
needs.
Board. Yes, Listen Notes, which I haven't used myself, a paid podcast directory, is to start its own free podcast host, dubbed
Hooray.
Listen Host. Right. The service will require you to use your own custom domain and will not, initially at least, provide any analytics. Now, again, what is Listen Notes? I've never used them. I know that there was a Twitter stream this week that I was following or trying to follow, where people were quoting themselves to be number one or at the top. What is Listen Notes, James? Put me out of my misery.
So Listen Notes is a podcast database, and you can buy it, and many people do if they want to launch their own podcast app. One of the things that people can use Listen Notes for is to dive into what shows exist, what shows are about a particular subject, and all of that kind of stuff. So you can do a bunch of information in there. And what Listen Notes also does is it guesses, and frankly, that's all it is, but it guesses how many downloads particular shows are getting. You basically ask it, okay, let's take a look at a podcast about podcasts like, you know, Podland. You can then dive into that particular page on the Listen Notes directory, and guess what? We're a top 10% podcast in the world. And we have a listen score of 28, whatever that means. And it gives you a bunch of information. And if you pay for it enough, a bunch of information about how many downloads that we're getting and all of that, which is basically made up and not quite sure whether or not it's going to be true, much like Podchaser and other tools end up doing. So that's what Listen Notes is. What I find fascinating is that they're launching a podcast hosting platform, but it's a podcast hosting platform where you'll need your own domain name in order to use it, because they want to make sure that, you know, if their podcast host goes away, you know, you're not left high and dry. And so therefore, virtually nobody's going to use this. And you don't get any analytics either, because they haven't built that in. Why anybody would want to sign up? If you're intelligent enough to register your own .com, to fiddle around in the DNS to change CNAMEs over to what you'll need to do this particular host. Well, I mean, why aren't you using, you know, something which is a little bit more robust than this random podcast host, which doesn't have any analytics? I don't really understand what the deal is there, but I'm sure that there's a good reason, as there always is.
Maybe it's acquisition for email addresses, James.
Well, or maybe it is acquisition. I mean, that's another thing that people use Listen Notes for. They buy the data so that they can grab the email addresses, and then they spam podcasters with it. If you do that and you're grabbing PodNews's RSS feed, then not only do I know that you've done that, I know that you've done that from Listen Notes, because the algorithmic email addresses that I produce tell me who scraped the RSS feed in the first time. So hello, the Wisdom app, whatever that is. They claimed that I had signed up on their website. Well, I wouldn't have done with a random email address that I had algorithmically built. They've spammed me twice so far with an email address that they've got from the Listen Notes directory. Boo for them. But that's another reason why somebody might want to end up spending some money buying the data from this particular platform.
Well, maybe it's time to accelerate still that verify tag from the podcast index that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Right, moving on. I was quite excited this week. Podverse announced that their Podverse mobile app has integrated with Olby. So on the back of RSS and Castos and Justcast, it's great to see. So I tried it, and, you know, it's great. You can go in, you can set up your wallet, and I put in my Allbeat credentials. You go and listen to a podcast episode and you can boost, you know, I just want to boost this 1,000 or 10,000 sats, or in some cases 50,000 sats. And you can do that very quickly, or you can click the other alternative button and you can send a boostergram. So really well done to the guys at Podverse. Another step forward for all of us.
Yeah, I think so. And it's always good seeing more and different apps integrating this kind of thing. It's great to see the new podcast namespace being used. And, you know, good work, I reckon, from everybody involved. And I think, you know, listening to the latest Podcasting 2.0 show, which I was doing a couple of days ago, it's very clear that actually there is a bit of a turning point at the moment of lots of people now using the podcast namespace, now, you know, pushing forward with a lot of the, you know, hard work which has gone on here. And I think it's, you know, it's a really exciting time. I think particularly exciting to see Adam and Dave speaking at Podcast Movement next week. I'm hoping that that's going to be a pretty full session where Adam will say three things and then Dave has, I believe, 47 slides. So that's going to be fun. You know, but I think it's really, you know, it's time is now. And I'm looking forward and hoping that Apple takes note of this and starts incorporating some individual specifications into their app. Who knows, maybe we'll even get Spotify on board.
It'll be interesting to hear what your thoughts are about who was in that room and, more importantly, who wasn't in that room. Obviously, you know the people involved from Spotify and Apple and other big players. Because when Mike Mignano came on, I mean, I think the most disappointing part for me was that he'd never heard of the Podcast Index. And here's a guy who'd built Anchor. So, you know, will some of the guys from the bigger corporates even know who Adam and Dave are and what the Podcast Index is?
Certainly from my point of view, I'm very aware that Apple know a lot about the podcast, the new podcast namespace, and that Apple are certainly watching it. There are various entertaining hurdles that you need to get over in order to get Apple to do anything. But I do know that they are, you know, watching this very, very carefully. The thing that, you know, continually disappoints me is some of the larger podcast apps, whether that's Good Pods, whether that's Pocket Casts, whether that's Overcast, not really integrating an awful lot of the new features from the new podcast namespace. The more that we can do to get those people implementing some of these features, and it might not be value for value, absolutely, but it may well be other things like, you know, transcripts and alternate enclosures and other things. The more of those people that implement them, the better, so far as I'm concerned.
Let's move on to some more techie stuff, I'm afraid. Well, I'm not afraid. I enjoy this part, but other people may be tuning out to the next chapter. Who knows? Now, the Podcast Index has more than 4.1 million podcasts in its index. But aren't many of them abandoned shows not listed in other directories? It seems not. There's an automated removal process within the database. Mm-hmm. So anything that's over 90 days after its birth and has at least two episodes and one which is longer than 3 minutes,
There are those people out there that say that the reason why the Podcast Index has 4.1 million podcasts in there is that there's a lot of crap in there. That may still be true, but it's certainly not some of the tests podcasts and some of those, you know, one show and done streams that you might have expected there to be. So, you know, I thought that was interesting and quite positive news. So good to end up seeing that Dave has worked on a plan there to make sure that the Podcast Index isn't just full of nonsense, which slows everything down for everybody.
Moving on, James, I came across a website this week. It was called podcastnamespace.org. Anything to do with you, mate?
Yes, it's mine.
Oh, hang on, wait. No. Wait, have you checked with Adam and Dave? They haven't got the trademark because that sounds suspiciously like one of their names, you know. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yes, no. So podcastindex.org is theirs, and it is the full index. Podcastnamespace.org, the idea behind that is the place where you can point people towards the specs for the new podcast namespace, but also examples, who's supporting it, all of that kind of information. And really, I've started doing it because nobody else was, and it was really difficult to share with people what, you know, how does the podcast funding tag work? Really difficult to end up sharing people without diving into a morass of GitHub repositories and everything else. And so the idea behind it, and it's not done yet, but the idea behind it is to make it a really clear, straightforward site, which is there, which just basically explains, if you're a developer, how to do this stuff. And if you're somebody who is interested in it, well, what podcast apps exist? What do they look like? How does the UX patterns work? What's the best practice here? You know, and so on and so forth. And so that's the plan for podcastnamespace.org. It's cost me a whole $15 for the domain. And that's basically that. And anybody can take part. Please do. The whole thing is on GitHub and is open, and it would just be a really good thing, I think, to point people to you know, how each individual tag works.
Are you going to provide a grid reference to the hosts and what they support within the podcast namespace on that site?
Yeah, so there is a little bit of that that exists already on the Podcast Index website. Newpodcastapps.com will get there. And that will actually show you, for example, who supports this particular tag on this particular podcast host. So it will do all of that stuff for you. What I'm trying to do with podcastnamespace.org is to highlight some of the big ones and make it really clear. So Buzzsprout, for example, supports the podcast funding tag. They sponsor us, but also RSS.com do, PowerPress by Blueberry and Transistor. Those are some of the large podcast hosts who are supporting it, and some of the large podcast apps supporting it include Podcast Addict and AntennaPod, and 6 iOS apps. So really trying to be there, not trying to include everybody because that doesn't necessarily help, but trying to show, look, this is a big deal. This is why you should be working on this particular tag and all of the people who are supporting this particular tag so far.
Brilliant. Well done, James. Let's see how that evolves over the coming weeks and months.
Indeed. Now, it'll be fun to have a look at.
One of the things that the Podcast Index website did do, and I saw, was that they've enabled it so that when you search on the podcastindex.org site for a podcast such as Podland, it's integrated Boostergrams into the UI so that you can actually listen to the podcast and send a Boostergram. Now, I thought that was great, and I thought other podcast websites should use that.
I haven't looked into it yet, but it's done by Stephen Bell, who also works on CurioCaster as well. It looks to be a pretty cool piece of data. What I'm basically going to do is I'm going to get it into the PodNews website. If you are running a plugin like GetAlbi or similar that allows you to send, you know, a Boostergram through, and I think that's you know, relatively easily done. I just need to kind of understand some of the code behind it, but by the looks of things, it's not going to be the world's most complicated thing. So I think it should be fun to do.
Now, talking of working on things, you have been busy. If you host, you've said, with Amazon CloudFront, you can now turn on HTTP3 support, which can deliver files faster, and it seems you've done that already, James.
Yes, I mean, I've done that for all of the Pod News website and the podcast and everything else. HTTP3 is basically just a quicker way of delivering encrypted website pages and stuff like that. It normally shaves about 10% off the loading time, so it's well worthwhile doing. It's better for the internet because you use less bandwidth and everything else. So if you are hosting with Amazon CloudFront, as many people do, it is literally one tick box. So there's no real additional work, but you do need to turn it on. And turning on HTTP3 support is probably a good thing. It's supported by, you know, everything from Chrome to Safari to Firefox and everything else. So worthwhile taking a peek at, which is nice. Also worthwhile spending a little bit of time on is getting podcast apps ready for iOS 16, which finally allows you to get rid of Apple Core Media as your user agent in certain circumstances and allows you to set your own user agent. It's a thing called AV URL Asset HTTP user agent key, which is a very nice, short and snappy name. They've just been fixing a couple of little bugs with that. And John Spurlock, of course, because he would, wouldn't he, has posted code showing podcast app developers how to set their user agent correctly using that. But it would be a very good thing for people to be updating their podcast apps as soon as they can possibly end up doing that. Yes, that would be a good thing. Satoshi's Stream is working on a web version, so they're getting rid of the rather peculiar thing of using Telegram and stuff to maintain your podcast if you want value for value using that service. So looking forward to that. Blueberry has done something cool as well, haven't they? In fact, Blueberry is in the middle of an incredible month of new releases.
Go on, you know you want to do it. Give me that impression. I was waiting for the Todd impression. That was what we're... Everyone waits for that every week now,
Jason.
Oh,
I see.
Come on, yes.
Oh, I see. Well, I wasn't going to go into the Todd impression, but get your own .com. I'm trying to get him onto this show in a couple of weeks' time, so it may or may not be a good plan. But anyway, that's right, Todd. But yes, Blueberry have, they've partnered with your mates at Descript. They've allowed Descript users to publish their edited podcasts directly from the Descript app, haven't they?
Yeah, it's just another one of the hosts that are doing it. Buzzsprout, of course, do it. Captivate, Castos, Hello Audio, Podbean, Podcast.co, Transistor. So look, it's a great way of doing it. And in fact, Blueberry have also allowed your friends at Hindenburg as well to publish directly. So again, look, removing some of the workflow steps that we all have to do to publish our podcasts, it's all going to be good news.
It's all going to be good news. Blueberry's also today unveiled a way to earn money through programmatic advertising for all of its hosting customers. So you don't need any minimum downloads. You don't need any minimum audience figures. You can just sign up. It's through a company called SoundStack. So they've been promoting this for quite some time and launched it today. I believe it's a pre-roll, so you'll just hear a little pre-roll before you hear the show itself, which is quite nice. And Blueberry are, or Todd certainly is, trailing a very big announcement from the company on Monday. He's saying how exciting it is. He won't even tell me what it is yet, but it comes out on Monday. It does sound as if he only wants to announce it on Monday if the techs have got everything right. So not quite sure what that's going to be. But anyway, expect a big announcement from Blueberry on Monday, timed for podcast movement, as many of these things are.
Well, I wait with bated breath. Now, talking of ads and pre-rolls, it turns out that Apple, it says here, might be adding adverts to Apple Podcasts. That would be a big announcement in itself, wouldn't it, James?
It would be, yes. It's according to an interview with Todd Teresi, who is Apple's advertising VP. I am also told it wasn't an interview, and I'm told that I should basically ignore it. So I have a feeling that it probably isn't entirely correct, and that it's somebody at Ars Technica making a few assumptions up from something that Todd may have said at some point in time. But yes, nobody wants ads within the Apple Podcast podcast app, and I'm pretty convinced that that's not going to happen. Apple TV Plus, though, have signed a deal with Futura Media to make original podcasts, which is nice. It sounds as if what they're doing basically is that they are making shows which are podcast first, and if the podcasts do well, then they'll make them into Apple TV Plus shows for the telly. Which is a very tried and tested plan these days. So interesting seeing Apple doing that. And Apple Podcasts has also been interviewing people. They've recently interviewed Jack Rosider, who's the person behind Darknet Diaries, and he is earning handsomely from selling paid subscriptions on the Apple Podcasts platform.
I was more interested, because I don't listen to the Darknet Diaries, but I was more interested that actually the subscriber model is working and it will only get bigger and better, because one of the question marks around subscriptions has always been, well, can you get rid of advertising and can you do a subscription-only model? Well, you know, at $11,000 a month, that's a decent chunk of money, and it's only going to get bigger for Jack.
Indeed. No, and it's a great show as well. I've listened to a few of them, and it's a really nice show, really well put together. So one of the other things that Jack does is that he shares a ton of his data on his own blog as well, which I've occasionally linked to. So he's very, very open at how things work. So well done him.
Now, other bits of quick news. Snipped, a podcast app that uses AI to transcribe content and synchronize with note-taking apps, has had an upgrade. It now produces podcast highlights in a personalized feed.
Yeah, I think what they're doing there is that they are pulling bits of shows and basically playing them in a kind of TikTok-like feed. I guess there's questions around whether that's a transformative work or not in terms of copyright. I would argue it probably is. But nevertheless, that's what they're currently working on. And it looks quite fun. Transistor is now supporting timestamps in their podcast player and their episode pages, which is quite neat. Buzzsprout has been supporting that for a while. We are sponsored by Buzzsprout. Jam Street Media has announced a number of new consulting partnerships, which is good. PodPay Invest is a new crowdfunding website aimed at podcasters. Not quite sure what they are, not quite sure what they're doing, but it looked interesting. And talking about crowdfunding and money, Audi, friend of the show, they have raised £2.5 million, which is $3 million in funding. They're a UK-based podcast publisher, of course, and they're doing pretty well.
Well done to Audi. Now, in the UK, Acast has produced a number of cross-branded shows promoting the National Lottery's good causes. And also, podcast hosts that use Acast can now add another free show to their account. So, you know, they are doing some great stuff.
They are, and they've stopped doing the naughty stuff. So, as far as I'm concerned, I am friends with Acast. I felt very bad having to turn down. They invited me to a dinner at Podcast Movement. I felt very bad having to turn it down because I've got something else on that time. I was there going, oh, I'm turning it down, but I'm not turning it down because I hate you. I'm turning it down because, you know, and all of that. But yes, so Acast doing some interesting stuff. Right, guess what? It's time for
Boostergram Corner.
It is indeed. We've received a ton of boosts. And we've received a big baller boost, haven't we?
Indeed. Adam Curry has sent 50,000 sats. Congratulations. Thank you, Adam. He says, a boostergram equal to a guest slot payment in Bitcoin world.
Yes, he sent us 50,000 sats instead of $50,000. But, you know, if only he'd sold that helicopter sooner, he'd be able to afford $50,000 for us. Thank you so much, Adam. That's very kind. And I'm looking forward to meeting Adam next week at Podcast Movement. 500 sats from M. McCallan, who says, little known fact, Evo Terra's real name. Evo was on the show last week. Evo Terra's real name is Augustus Winterbottom, he says. It is a little known fact because it's not true. Evo Terra's real name is Travis Unwin, it turns out, from Wikipedia. Either that's Evo having a joke, or that really is Evo's real name. There we are. M. McCallan, thank you very much for that.
Now, we received 888 sats from the old podcast. I like a boost when James does impressions of the podcast industry fake. James, do another one, please. But let's get a boost.
That's right, Todd.
And also because James has made his calendar available for anyone to meet him at Podcast Movement. Well, I would say, old podcast, it might be full by now.
Yes, it is.
And Sam gets half because he seems cool. Thank you. I get half. I don't know why I get half, actually. James does all the work, as we're about to find out. So, yes, I get half for whatever reason. But thank you to James for letting me have half of it.
You do a lot of work. And he's given us 8, 8, 8 because it looks like snowmen. And I guess it's winter in Australia. It is winter, but we don't get snow here. But thank you very much. And he sent another 8 sats for my wedding, which is very kind. Excellent. Thank
you. Spend it all at once, James.
Yeah, that'll buy me virtually nothing. But thank you very much. Dave Jones has sent us a big rush boost saying Stephen Bell is the wonderful developer that added boost support to the Podcast Index site. He did. So thank you for that, Dave. We've received 5,000 sats here, Sam.
Yeah, me testing out the Podcast Index boostergrams. It did work, I said. Hi, James, did this work? Clearly it did.
Let's move on from that. 1,000 sats from Mitch, who says, hello, James and Sam. This is a test boostergram from Podverse Mobile. If you see any bugs with it, please let me know. No bugs there. Thank you, Mitch. That's very kind. And Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast has sent 1337, which is elite. Boost or a big lead boost. He says, your guest hosts always fit in nicely. I'd be getting worried if I was Sam. No,
I am.
No.
Yes, no, I am.
Not at all. We can't have Evo doing it every week. He might say things. He says, I've been thinking the same, James. I'll put it. Oh, yes, this was me talking about the Brisbane Podcasters Group, which is a bit moribund. He said, I will put some effort into kicking the group off again next month when it starts getting warmer again. Less than 20 degrees centigrade is unacceptable. It is. It's bloody cold. So thank you, Karin. That's good of you. And yes, we should get the Brisbane Podcast Group up and running again because it was fun. So thank you to all of those people who've boosted us, and also Bisaya Podcasts, who has given us 50 sats. If you do get value out of this show, then half of it comes to me and half of it goes to Sam. That's how podcast splits work. So if you want to send us a boostergram, then go find yourself a decent podcast app. The Fountain one is pretty good to get started, and hit that boost button and away you go.
That's right. Moving on to Event Corner quickly then. Coming up in London on October the 5th is the Publisher Podcast Summit. And again, if you want to get a discount code for that, you can use the code PODNEWS15 to save yourself 15%.
Yes, the finalists have also been announced for Todd Cochran's People's Choice Podcast Awards. It's the 17th annual awards. I was a finalist last year, didn't win, didn't bother entering it this time around. The winners will be announced on September the 30th, which of course is International Podcast Day, so worthwhile looking out for that.
And the podcasting hosting company Transistor is also just in time for Podcast Movement, shared some tips and tricks for what to do when you go there.
Yes, and talking about tips and tricks, I put tips and tricks into Pod News every day or every other day, every most days. And in case you don't get Pod News, then you have missed things like the 5 most common podcast launch mistakes. Matt Deegan writing a piece on why hasn't my podcast got many listeners? Which is a very clickbaity title. Well done, Matt. How do you get started with programmatic advertising on your podcast? Brian Barletta from Sounds Profitable last week wrote a really good guide, everything you need to know to earn money. Of course, it's already out of date with the announcement from Blueberry today, but still, there we go. It's worth a look, soundsprofitable.com. Rephonic has released a Canva template to help you design a nice-looking media kit, which is a good tip for you to know about. And the podcast host have covered how to negotiate fair rates for podcast editors. So if you are interested in those things, then you should be getting Pod News. It's free at podnews.net, or you can have a look in the show notes of this here podcast. So what's been happening for you this week in Podland, Sam?
Well, the first thing I have to say, James, is congratulations to you on getting married. I think it's official that I can say it here now.
Yes, finally. Yes.
But I think it's very sad that you're taking your wife to Dallas for the honeymoon. I mean, that's a bit cheap.
She is not coming to Dallas. Can you imagine? Here, honey, what I've decided I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to a conference of something that you have no interest in, and you can stay in the hotel room. No, that's not going to happen. But thank you very much. Italy was nice then, was it? Did you find some nice grape-based fruit drinks?
Yes, yeah, we downed a few reds and whites. That was very nice. And sadly, I'm not in Dallas because I'll be divorced if I was. I'm off for another week to the sunnier climes of Cornwall.
Yes, well, there'll be a special show next week from the podcast movement experience in Dallas. Not quite sure what's going to be in the show yet, but we will find out. Looking forward to that.
And what's been happening for you, James, in Podland this week?
Well, I mean, I've been basically going through my email and trying to tame it because, my goodness me, what happens when you're busy showing family and friends around Brisbane is it's very difficult to get anything else done. So that's been fun. One of the nice things that I spotted was Frank Ricciopi, who posted a list of people he considers to be thought leaders in podcasting. Sorry you weren't there, Sam, but it, randomly...
Nobody knows who I am. It's okay.
So randomly I was. So thank you, Frank, for that. Much appreciated. And that's it for this week. If you like this episode of Podland, you should tell others to visit and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be back next week with another review and analysis of all things podcasting.
And you'll also find all our previous shows and interviews on our website, podland.news. You can give us feedback using a Boostergram, or you can email us if you really want to at comments@podland.news.
Nobody bothers. If you want daily news, you should get Pod News. The newsletter's free at podnews.net. The podcast can be found in your podcast app, and all the stories we've discussed on Podland today are in the show notes. We use chapters and transcripts too.
Our music is from Ignite Jingles, and we're hosted and sponsored by our very good friends Buzzsprout and Squadcast, and we've announced it several times at the beginning, so hopefully the FSA and the FTC won't be coming after us.
Indeed, we hope anyway, and keep listening.